In the middle of April, New York dropped its objections to the sale of the Indian Point nuclear power plant after securing a promise from the facility's potential owners that they'll keep their decommissioning fund well-stocked with reserves for the next decade. The arrangement was struck just a few weeks after the last two working reactors at Indian Point were scheduled to be shut down. To explain the deal and what's next, we're joined once again by Tom Zambito, an investigative reporter with the Journal News who focuses on nuclear energy and transportation. Thanks for joining us, Tom.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
So what legal obstacles have been removed as the result of this deal between New York and Holtec, the company looking to buy the Westchester County facility and then oversee the decommissioning?
Yeah, so some very significant developments in this whole affair over the last few weeks. The Attorney General decided to drop its lawsuit against Entergy, the owners of the Indian Point Power Plant, in return for a deal, a settlement that Holtec, the new owner, has agreed to keep about $400 million in a decommissioning trust fund for the next 10 years. And that's significant because one of the hitches in all this, one of the concerns that the Attorney General had, was that Holtec might walk away from this project and stick ratepayers with the tab. So by having money remain in a trust fund for at least the next 10 years and then $360 million after that, the Attorney General got some more assurances.
Is there a sense of whether that dollar amount is going to be adequate? I mean, should the state feel comfortable with that amount?
They've said they are. You know, this is a $2.4 billion job over the course of probably 15 years. The talk now is that it could be done as soon as 2033. So they think, the state kind of believes that $400 million, you know, that much exists in real time, that it would be enough.
From reading your article about this deal, I noticed that the State Department of Environmental Conservation will oversee the cleanup of hazardous materials from Indian Point. Do we have any sense about what their oversight consists of? Like, are there metrics they can enforce, or is this kind of an ambiguous power?
No, this has been done before. These decommissionings have been done before. They've been done in Maine Yankee and a number of other plants throughout the United States. So there are metrics. There are radiological metrics that they need to meet, and the state won't be satisfied until those metrics are met. For instance, how much radiological waste is removed from the site, what it says on the meters that they use to sort of determine how much radiation remains on the site. And so they'll be in there on a pretty frequent basis to determine, you know, whether or not the site is still radiological or not. So yeah, that's a significant development, in that it's usually the feds that kind of come in and oversee everything. The state wants to get a hand in this as well.
Local governments and school districts in the area have had their own concerns about the decommissioning, a lot of them financial. How have those issues been resolved?
Right. So as part of this settlement, it's actually an ancillary settlement to this, is that the towns nearby, particularly Buchanan, which is where Indian Point resides, they'll get about, I think, $1.8 million as part of this deal. The Hendrick Hudson School District, significantly more, about $4 million. And then the town of Cortland, less than that. So they all, you know, they're going to take a big hit in the years to come, Dave. You know, their budgets, like, for instance, Buchanan, half its budget is going to be lost when they lose property taxes from Indian Point. So it's a very significant impact that this will have on them. This settlement will be for probably through 2023. After that, it's really hard to tell, you know, how they're going to make up the cost. I mean, they're hoping that one option is that they're hoping to be able to tax the spent fuel that remains at the site. There's a bill passed in Senator Harkin and Assemblywoman Galef passed a measure in the last session that will allow local towns to tax the spent fuel that's going to remain there for decades. So we really don't know how much that's going to be at this point, but it'll help.
Are these deals set in stone right now, or do they still need additional sign-off, say maybe from like federal regulators or state regulators?
Right, yeah. So before the keys are sort of turned over you know, from Entergy to Holtec, the NRC, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, has to sign off on the final deal. But with this settlement with the state, that was really the most significant hurdle. It's pretty standard. Everybody kind of believed that the NRC would, you know, it's already approved the deal, so it's just a pending a turnover at this point. Probably like mid-May is when, you know, the Holtec will take over.
You're listening to the Capital Press Room, and we're discussing a deal struck between the state and the owners of the Indian Point Nuclear Power Plant, which will enable the new operators of the Westchester County facility to move ahead with the decommissioning of the site. It's my understanding you had one last site visit recently, and you'll be writing about that this weekend. What was that visit like?
Yeah, so things are sort of slowing down there, obviously. The last working reactor, Unit 3, is down to about 78% of capacity. That's pretty typical in the second year of a reactor's fuel cycle. It's already sort of losing its steam, so to speak. So things are slowing down. We went walked through Unit 2, which was shut down last year. So that was pretty quiet. But there's still the loud hum of the reactors in Unit 3. It's still going. It'll be interesting to see, you know, over the next week or so, how workers react. We've been talking to a lot of workers in the last few days, and a lot of them are really, you know, some of them have been there for decades, going back to the 70s era, you know, when nuclear, the proliferation of nuclear power plants was at its height, you know. So they're really going to miss the place. They really believe in nuclear energy, and so we're going to sort of talk to them and get their perspective on the shutdown.
Is there a sense of how many of the current employees will be retained as part of the decommissioning?
Yeah, so I think Holtec has agreed to take on about 120 employees. I think the workforce at Entergy was down to about around 300. So they're going to take on about 120 as part of the decommissioning. Others have retired. Others have gone on to other Entergy sites throughout the United States.
In the heyday of this plant, how many people used to work there, and what sort of role did that put the plant in terms of the community?
There's always been a lot of strong support for Indian Point in the communities closest to the plant. And probably, I would guess it was around 1,000 strong at one point. So communities like Buchanan and Cortland, Verplank, they all sort of relied on this power plant, and they had a good working relationship with the plant. You know, some of the workers had actually, you know, would talk to students at Hendrick Hudson High School, talked about nuclear engineering. So they had a lot of interaction with the local community. I think, you know, I've traveled to nuclear power plants throughout the United States over the last few years, and I've seen the same thing. The support is always strongest closest to the nuclear power plants. It's beyond. It's in the, you know, well beyond the you know, the gates of the facility where support diminishes a bit.
Obviously, this is an emotional time for the people who work at the plant. For you, as someone who covers this issue, what was it like for you to be there? Did it carry any sort of emotional significance?
Well, you know, I've gotten to know some of the folks who work there. So yeah, a bit. You know, some of them I know are going to go, you know, move their families elsewhere. So, you know, it's going to be sad to see them go, certainly. But more importantly, I think the local towns, I think, are the ones that where you see the real emotional tug. You know, their livelihoods were really impacted by what goes on. You know, it's not just property taxes, right? There's a lot of ancillary benefits from having a major power plant in your area. There's the caterers and the pizza places and the gas stations and all that. And so they really relied on this place for, a lot of their financial wherewithal for the last few years. We've seen that upstate New York, you know, in Oswego, where the power plant there, you know, restaurants, everybody sort of relied on those power plants for the well-paying jobs that came out of it.
Earlier this week, Governor Andrew Cuomo was pressed by Marie French of Politico New York on the issue of what energy will be used to replace the nuclear energy from Indian Point when it goes offline. Do you have any sense of where the energy is going to come from that people would have previously gotten from Indian Point and its nuclear reactors?
Right now, if I were to guess, it's more than a guess. You know, we've sort of studied it over the last few years. It's fossil fuel. You know, a couple of years ago, we had a situation where both reactors were down at the same time. So I went on to the state website, the state that sort of monitor the grid, and we sort of looked at what was filling in for the nuclear power loss from when the reactor shut down, and it was mostly fossil fuel. So I think for the immediate future, you'll see that. Whether or not the renewables come online in the numbers that the governor envisions, I think he wants 70% by 2030, that's still to be seen. There's a lot of transmission issues that have to be resolved. And by that, I mean there's a lot of renewable power upstate. There's hydropower out of Niagara. There's a lot of solar farms upstate. But to get that downstate, down into Westchester County, New York City, some transmission issues have to be resolved, and that's going to involve a lot of money. There's also offshore wind off the coast of Long Island. Those are, that's a plan in the making.
Right.
There's a lot of fights going on out there, so we'll see if that comes on as well.
Well, we've been speaking with Tom Zambito. He is an investigative reporter with the Journal News who focuses on nuclear energy and transportation. Tom, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.